Welcome to the Prayer Motivator Devotional with Daniel White III. We are glad that you have joined us as Daniel White III encourages us to simply just pray to God in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Daniel White III is the national best-selling author of over 40 books, and he has spoken in meetings across the United States and in over 25 foreign countries. He is also the president of Gospel Light Society. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offers. You can get a free copy of the Prayer Motivator ebook by simply going to prayermd.com and signing up to receive our free prayer newsletter. All you have to do is put in your email address and that free ebook will be available for you to download. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we are using in this podcast, Purpose in Prayer by E.M. Bounds. The book is available on our website for just $15. You can make your purchase today at prayermd.com or prayermotivatordevotional.com. Now here's your host, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Prayer Motivator Devotional podcast number 746. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. The simple purpose of this podcast is to encourage you, exhort you, challenge you, and yes, if you will, motivate you to simply just pray to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in faith believing in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This podcast is not necessarily for people who already know the secret and power of prayer and who actually practice genuine prayer on a regular basis. Rather, it is for those who may find it difficult to pray, or for people who claim they do not have time to pray, or for the young in the faith who are struggling to pray. For I am convinced that most Christian people do not need to learn how to pray. They need to simply just pray. If I can get you to simply just pray to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in faith believing, I believe all sorts of wonderful things will begin to happen for you, your family, and whatever God has called you to do. We do not pray based upon our subjective feelings. We pray based upon objective facts found in the Word of God by faith. Beloved, our prayer motivator passage from the Word of God today is Jeremiah 29, verse 7, which reads, "And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace." Allow me to share with you some important points regarding this passage from Matthew Henry's commentary, one of the greatest devotional commentaries ever written. In verse 7, God directs them to seek the good of the country where they were captives, to pray for it, to endeavor to promote it. This forbids them to attempt anything against the public peace while they were subjects to the king of Babylon. Though he was a heathen, an idolater, an oppressor, and an enemy to God and his church, Yet while he gave them protection, they must pay him allegiance and live quiet and peaceable lives under him in all godliness and honesty, not plotting to shake off his yoke, but patiently leaving it to God in due time to work deliverance for them. Nay, they must pray to God for the peace of the places where they were, that they might oblige them to continue their kindness to them, and disprove the character that had been given their nation, that they were hurtful to kings and provinces, and moved sedition. Both the wisdom, and by the way, that sedition part is found in Ezra chapter 4, verse 15. Both the wisdom of the serpent and the innocency of the dove required them to be true to the government they lived under. For in the peace thereof you shall have peace. Should the country be embroiled in war, they would have the greatest share in the calamitous effects of it. Thus, the primitive Christians, according to the temper of their holy religion, prayed for the powers that were, though they were persecuting powers. And if they were to pray for and seek the peace of the land of their captivity, much more reason have we to pray for the welfare of the land of our nativity, where we are a free people under a good government, that in the peace thereof we and ours may have peace, every passenger is concerned in the safety of the ship. Beloved, our featured prayer motivator quote is from Ralph A. Herring. He said, "Prayer is need finding a voice. Prayer is embarrassment seeking relief. Prayer is friend in search of friend. Prayer is a request in the darkness of the midnight. Prayer is knocking on a barred door. Prayer is communion through both darkness and closed doors. Prayer is shameless insistence in the name of another. Prayer is expecting and receiving all things whatsoever we need to meet the demands when Jesus, our friend, calls on us." Beloved, my personal encouragement for you today is this. Here are four ways to pray for other people. Number one, ask that the person have the mind of Christ. Wow, that is so important. Number two, ask that the person grow daily in Christ-like maturity. Somebody ought to say amen. Number three, ask that the person put on the full armor of God. Now, you're really praying. Number four, ask that the person be alert to Satan's strategy. Amen. Somebody. Beloved, our prayer motivator devotional today is titled "Prayer is Putting God to Work," Part 11, from the book The Weapon of Prayer by Dr. E. M. Bounds. Allow me to say again, I'm not fond of this title, but that's what he titled it. I think it's a little bit disrespectful. However, I can't find a better title for what he wrote. And strangely, it has been one of our most popular podcasts. And so, go figure. Dr. E.M. Bounds goes on to say, "Likewise, the birds of the air are brought into subjection to this same law. Elijah had foretold to Ahab the coming of that prolonged drought, and food and even water became scarce. God sent him to the brook Cherith, and said unto him, It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And the ravens brought bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. Can anyone doubt that this man of God, who later on shut up and opened the rain clouds by prayer, was not praying about this time when so much was at stake? God interposed among the birds of the air this time, and strangely moved them to take care of his servant, so that he would not want food and water. David, in an evil hour, instead of listening to the advice of Joab, his prime minister, yielded to the suggestion of Satan and counted the people, which displeased God. So God told him to choose one of three evils as a retribution for his folly and sin. Pestilence came among the people in violent form, and David betakes himself to prayer. And David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. And though God had been greatly grieved at David for numbering Israel, yet he could not resist this appeal of a penitent and prayerful spirit, and God was moved by prayer to put his hand on the springs of disease and stop the fearful plague. God was put to work, if you will, by David's prayer. Numbers of other cases could be named. These are sufficient. God seems to have taken great pains in his divine revelation to men to show how he interferes in earth's affairs in answer to the prayers of his saints. The question might arise just here in some overcritical minds as to the so-called laws of nature who are not strong believers in prayer, as if there was a conflict between what they call the laws of nature and the law of prayer. These people make nature a sort of imaginary little g-god, entirely separate of Almighty God. What is nature anyway? It is but the creation of God, the maker of all things. And what are the laws of nature but the laws of God, through which he governs the material world? As the law of prayer is also the law of God, there cannot possibly be any conflict between the two sets of laws, but all must work in perfect harmony. Prayer does not violate any natural law. God may set aside one law for the higher working of another law, and this he may do when he answers prayer. Almighty God may answer prayer working through the course of natural law, but whether or not we understand it, God is over and above all nature, and can and will answer prayer in a wise, intelligent, and just manner, even though man may not comprehend it, so that in no sense is there any discord or conflict between God's several laws when God is induced to interfere with human affairs in answer to prayer. Beloved, in this connection, another word might be said. We used the form of words to which there can be no objection, that prayer does certain things, but this, of course, implies not that prayer as a human means accomplishes anything, but that prayer only accomplishes things instrumentally. Prayer is the instrument. God is the efficient and active agent, so that prayer in itself does not interfere in earth's affairs, but prayer in the hands of men moves God to intervene and do things which he would not otherwise do if prayer was not used as the instrument. It is, as we say, faith hath saved thee, by which is simply meant that God, through the faith of the sinner, saves him, faith being only the instrument used by the sinner which brings salvation to him. Now, dear friend, with that, it is time for us to pray by faith in God. Please remember the announcer will provide the information for you to send in your prayer requests at the end of this podcast. Please join me in prayer. Holy Father God, we thank you for the power, the peace, and the purpose of prayer. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We individually and collectively confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. As your people, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins and help us to forsake our sins, to pray and to seek your face, and to get back to you our first love. We pray together now, collectively and individually, over our prayer list that we pray over during this time. We pray for over 3 million people to come to know you as Savior through this ministry alone. We pray for millions more to be saved through other ministries. We pray for the revival of your church. We pray for the healing of Christian families. We pray for the healing of this disobedient nation. And we pray your blessings and guidance for all pastors and church servants and missionaries and evangelists and all people in your church who love you back because you first loved them and who believe in you sincerely. We pray for the salvation, leadership, and wisdom for the president, for all governmental officials who run this country and all other countries. Now, Lord, we pray for 3 people who have sent in prayer requests. We pray for Shay. Help her to serve you with her life in all that she does. We pray for Cecil. Please heal him from gout, high blood pressure, and bad cholesterol. We pray for Willis. Please bless him with the ministry banner and ministry certificates he needs and meet the needs of the orphans under the care of his ministry. Holy Father God, we pray for the following people who have trusted you as Savior. We pray, Lord, that you would confirm them in the faith and have them grow in the faith to become the Holy Spirit-filled and biblical Christians that you want them to be. We pray specifically for Nick. We pray for James. We pray for Vivian and all of the other hundreds who have trusted you as Savior, those who have written in and those who have not. And now, Lord, we pray for the following people who have been saved for a while, but who have recommitted their lives to you. We rejoice with them in this decision and pray that they will keep their commitments to you and be strengthened in the faith. We pray specifically for Shay, Sasay, and Raleigh. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you're listening today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of your sins, if you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from hell to heaven, allow me to show you how to be saved from sin and hell so that you can have a home in heaven when you die. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now this is bad news, I know, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember, pray, think, do. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Prayer Motivator Devotional with Daniel White III. If you would like for us to pray for you, please send your prayer request to prayer@prayermd.com. If you have questions about salvation, what to do after salvation, are looking for a good church home, or like to read our pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door, please visit GospelLightSociety.com for more information. Don't forget that you can get a free copy of the Prayer Motivator ebook by simply going to PrayerMD.com and signing up to receive our free Prayer MD newsletter. All you have to do is put in your email address and that free ebook will be available for you to download. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we are using in this podcast, Purpose in Prayer by E.M. Bounds. The book is available on our website for just $15. You can make your purchase today at PrayerMD.com or PrayerMotivatorDevotional.com. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the Prayer Motivator Devotional on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcast, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. Tell your friends and family to tune in and discover the power of prayer. God bless.